Well, it's not unusual for me to get a letter, a text, a phone call from time to time, and from different ones. And oftentimes, the calls or the texts that I receive are people trying to direct me into a way that they think. So, certainly appreciate that. One individual sent me a text that basically said this, and actually sent me a YouTube. Those are always helpful too. Find them extremely helpful when I'm working on the car. The YouTube was about an individual that was preaching, and his fundamental statement was, which came out of the message, you don't have to go to church to be saved. And so that was the emphasis. And I just texted back, well, you don't have to have a family to have a kid. You can have a child, but doesn't he need a family to grow up? It's not the family that makes the child born. The child is born because of an act of God. And you are born, and I am born, in the family of God because of the act of God. In fact, Connie and I were talking about the fact that a lot of the people that we know really didn't receive the Lord in the church. It was because of the church and because of the ministry of the church, but they received the Lord outside, maybe at home, maybe in their bedroom or something like that, but that's when they received the Lord. But you don't take a kid that's born and just put him on the street and go, okay, now it's up to you. It's one of the reasons why you have parents. And once again, Scripture gives that wonderful example of the fact that we are actually a family of God. The fundamental point of the church, and I think this is one of the things that we need to kind of rehearse over from time to time, because it is oftentimes questioned. People say, well, you know, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian or whatever. And once again, that's true. But the fact that you are a Christian means that you want to be in a church. And it's just like baptism. I mean, you don't have to be a part of a church to be baptized. I guess an uncle could baptize you or something like that. But it is through the church that we gain that sense of family and gain that sense of belonging, and God uses this. So I'm going to give you a few reasons why we have a church and why Scripture emphasizes so much. In fact, if you turn me to Ephesians chapter 2, it is interesting that the end of chapter 1 tells us that Christ has put all things under his feet and that he's the authority of all things. At the end of chapter 1 of Ephesians, if you look with me in verse 22, it reads, he puts all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things, look at the word here, to the church. That's interesting. Which is his body. Ah, well, that's another reason. People say, well, I can not be in church. I can just serve the Lord where, you know, outside the church. And I go, yeah, but God didn't make you an amputee. God made you a part of a body. And you're part of you function better if you're actually attached to the body. This is why Scripture says every ligament that's growing together, we're a part of. And we depend on one another. We need one another. God has so ordained it that you don't have all the spiritual gifts. I don't know if you noticed that or not. That probably some of us are searching for that one that we have. But the point of a spiritual gift is to build up the body. There is no such thing as a spiritual gift in which you go home and you go, how wonderful my spiritual gift is for me. And, you know, you're just basking in the wonderfulness of who you are. But the purpose of the spiritual gift is to build up one another. Of course, it's impossible, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, to actually love yourself. Because it does not seek its own. Well, I mean, that just kind of, you're at home, how wonderful my love is. Who are you? You got to show it to somebody in order to have love. You have to think of somebody more important than yourself in order to demonstrate love. So the wonderful thing about churches is that's where you begin to demonstrate the love for God. In fact, John will say, the one who loves God loves the children born of God. So there's just no way you can say, you know what, I love God, I receive Christ, but I don't like the people of God. You know, it's like saying, I don't like your kids. And that literally pulls you out. And once again, there's no way that you can say you're a part of the body of Christ if in fact you divorce yourself from them. So Ephesians chapter 2 tells us about the love of God and how wonderful it is. Of course, we were dead in our trespasses and sin, but we've been saved by his grace and the surpassing riches of his love for us and his kindness towards us. And it states this in verse 8, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Once again, I think oftentimes people perceive that they're the answer to everything, and everything centers and focuses around them. He goes on and says, it's not a result of works that no one should boast. Verse 10 reads this way, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." I wonder, who are the good works for? Now, this whole chapter begins to deal with the fact that there was a time where we were separate. We were actually on our own. In fact, he gives the example of the Jews and the Gentiles, and they were divided, they were separate. It reads this way, if you look within the verse 12, "Remember that you were at a time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenant of the promises." As it says in verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near." I don't know if you're feeling it, but you can almost feel him calling you together to gather. And it says in verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier and the dividing wall," verse 16, "that he might reconcile them both into one body." Then he gives the conclusion in verse 19, and if you look at this with me, "So then you're no longer strangers, aliens, but your fellow citizens, your saints. You are of God's household." That's, by the way, where we get our name, Family Bible Church, because it is a household. And once again, you can say you're a part of God's household, but why don't you ever come home? See? And that's what church is about. It's a family of God. And if, in fact, you say you love the family, why wouldn't you be there? It's not something that is forced. It's something that is longed for. You long for home. And so, as it goes on, it says in verse 20, "Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together." That's pretty hard to do when you're somewhere else. That's pretty hard to fit together and grow into the holy temple. And in fact, if it goes on in verse 22, "in whom also you being built together into a dwelling of God." There are so many passages. Of course, if you think about it, almost all the New Testament is about the church. So you literally have to throw out pretty much the New Testament. Because if you look at the epistles, it's the epistle to Corinth, right? It's the epistle to Ephesus. It's the epistle to Galatia. Well, where are these? What are these places? Is he just throwing it out there in the mountains? Is he throwing it out in the valleys? Or is it actually a church? And so if you look at the beginning of the epistles, the letters, this is to the church of Galatia. There is actually a church. And if you say, well, it's a church at large, it's a church universal, well, then you have to throw out the pastoral epistles. Because the pastoral epistle says you have pastors, teachers, and then it begins to say, and by the way, you need to have overseers and deacons. And then it goes, and you go, well, what's the purpose of that book? Well, it's to give you the bones, the structure of what a church is. And why in the world would Hebrews say, do not forsake your own assembly? Which seems to convey that you have your own household. I've often told people, look, you have a lot of aunts and uncles, but you only have one home. And God has so ordained that the church be that home in which you establish a family. And you not only establish a family and relationships, they build you up, they encourage you, you participate in caring and sharing, it strengthens your walk with God, and you begin to demonstrate your love for God by loving his children. It is impossible to say you love God and not love his kids. Scripture says that. So he literally says, you're just lying to yourself. So there is something about one that is walking with Christ that would draw him always to the body of Christ and will cause him to long for that fellowship. And, of course, that's what we see throughout that it's this family of God, this household of faith that God has so ordained. Just to give you a passage of scripture that to me has always meant a lot, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 reminds us that the church is the pillar and support of the truth. I have found that when people stop attending, that after a while you start talking to them about this, and look, they could be reading the Bible all day long, but you start talking about certain spiritual doctrine, I'm going, where did they get that idea from? And before long, they start going out on their own imagination and thoughts, and they form doctrines that are contrary, really, to the Word of God. That once again, God ordained, and you read this in particular in Ephesians chapter 4, as he begins to say, God has given to the church pastors, teachers, evangelists, once again, for the building up of the saints. So God has ordained this so that you would stay on target, so that the truth would not be maligned, so that the truth would not be confused, that it would be upheld, and so it is a place in which that is done too. We could give you a lot of reasons, but you would have to throw out a lot of the New Testament if, in fact, you didn't believe you need to come to church. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a preacher. I'm saying it because it says this. It'd be like saying, you know, why do you need firemen? There might be a fire. So, the fact of the matter is that God has given us this and has ordained. You know, God ordains the family. So you need to have families. If you're going to have kids, you need to have a family. And God has ordained the church. There's not a lot of organizations that he hasn't ordained. And it's funny how we cling to them instead of that which God has ordained. Father, we give you thanks for your calling us. We give you thanks for calling out the church to be separate, to be your household. And Lord, may we embrace one another and encourage one another and strengthen one another as long as still stay today. And as you tell us in your word, we're coming close to the end. We see the signs. It's very clear. And yet you tell us, what sort of people ought we to be? And that we shouldn't neglect one another, but we should use our gifts to build up one another. It seems as if it's the very thing that you tell us to do in preparation for the last times. We do this in Jesus' name. Amen.